Hello, welcome to another edition of The Debate. I'm Kavit Aghvi. Here we are again. The exchange of fire between Israel and Palestinian resistance groups has led to death and destruction, and as it has become evident, most occurring on the Palestinian side. Gaza Strip residents, overall death toll at this point, 51 in 2 days, 450 wounded. That's as of the broadcast of this program, women and children included. One child as young as four to have been killed. On the Israeli side, one soldier. In this edition of The Debate, we'll discuss why Israel, who has yet to show evidence that Hamas was guilty for the death of the three Israeli settlers, has exercised, as usual, disproportionate attacks on the Gaza Strip. We'll ask why does Israel's airstrikes and its operation, called Protective Edge, are not condemned, but those of Palestinians are? And ultimately, why the Israeli operation does not get a genuine international response.
Dozens of Palestinians, including women and children, have been killed, and more casualties are feared as Israel steps up its airstrikes on the besieged Gaza Strip. The Palestinian resistance movement, Hamas, has strongly condemned the attacks as a massacre of children and a horrendous war crime. It says all Israelis are now legitimate targets following Tel Aviv's indiscriminate killing of Palestinian civilians. Palestinian resistance groups have targeted Israeli cities and towns with a barrage of rockets, causing a wave of panic in the occupied territories. Israel's US-funded missile system, known as the Iron Dome, has missed most of those missiles. Meanwhile, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has vowed to intensify the ongoing attacks on the Gaza Strip. The Israeli military has also mobilized thousands of troops along Gaza, raising speculations of a ground incursion. The Palestinian officials have strongly condemned the Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip. They also criticized the international community's silence and urged protection for Palestinians.
The Israeli government is fully responsible for this deterioration, and I'm afraid that we haven't seen the worst yet. Knowing and seeing the indications of what the Israeli government is doing and the lack of a genuine international response to this puts us in a situation to expect the worst.
Some observers believe that international community's muted response to Israel's onslaught on the Gaza Strip back in 2009 and 2011 and the support of its staunch ally, the US, has emboldened Tel Aviv to continue its aggression against the Palestinian people.
Let me introduce our guest for this edition of The Debate. Associate Professor at Al-Aqsa University, Haidar A, joins us from Gaza. And we have Congressional Defense Policy Advisor Frederick Peterson, who joins us from Albany, New York. Gentlemen, welcome. Haidar A, at this point, we're looking at the number of Palestinians killed on the Gaza Strip, at least as of the recording of this program, 51 in 2 days, 450 wounded on the Israeli side, one Israeli soldier. This is kind of reminiscent of 2012 war and the 2008 war in terms of a disproportionate response, isn't it?
No, absolutely. Just to update you, as I was driving to your studio, the number of those who have been killed by apartheid Israel has risen to 52, with the death of four people in the southern city of Rafah. But you are right. I mean, we have in Gaza, we have a sense of deja vu. We've been there. We felt that in 2008, 2009, when Israel launched a massive massacres for 22 days in which it massacred more than 1,400 people, including 443 children, something that the UN fact-finding mission headed by the South African judge Richard Goldstone described as war crimes and possible crimes against humanity. The same thing happened again in November 2012. Israel attacked Gaza for 7 days, during which it massacred 200 people, including 64 children. The same thing is happening right now, where Israel for the last 2 days has been targeting actually houses houses of civilians. So far, more than 55 houses have been targeted by Israeli air raids, and more than 100 houses have been partially destroyed. And this is actually, this reminds us of what the white South African apartheid regime used to do to the blacks of South Africa. But even in the heydays of apartheid in the 70s and 80s, the South African apartheid regime never used F-16s made in the United States of America, Apache helicopters to attack black townships and and civilian areas. And this is happening right now in Gaza. What is happening right now in Gaza is a continuation of the massacres that have been going on since 1967, but at a much larger scale.
Frederick Peterson, I'd like to get your reaction, but let me give the lead here of what Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said on his Twitter page. This is after the three Israeli settlers were killed. He said, quote, "May God avenge their blood, vengeance for the blood of a small child." Some other statements, "They sanctify death, we sanctify life." I'm looking here at a picture of a boy holding his brother after his parents were killed in an attack on Gaza. And then another horrible incident, heartbreaking, 7 Palestinians, including 6 family members, killed in Beit Hanun. What is your reaction when you know that the U.S. supports militarily Israel at a tune of $3 billion a year?
Well, I would respond that Netanyahu's remark for vengeance, certainly emotional as it was, I believe was not directed at children or women or innocents, but rather was directed at vengeance of those who attempt to provoke growing violence in order to achieve violent, by violent ends, by violent means, very political ends. Netanyahu also called for quiet for quiet. In other words, a subsiding of the passions and the missiles being fired upon Israel, and the Israeli response of hundreds of airstrikes and naval gunfire that is being directed at the Gaza Strip, at the origin of what they believe is the origin of these missiles. Calling for quiet was met with a response of an entire new wave of missile strikes on Israel. What we have here is a human tragedy and people who are being manipulated by passions and by people who do not have pure hearts seeking peace, but rather are seeking political ends. And I do not mean to exonerate entirely either side on this, but we must ask ourselves, in fairness, what is the objective will of firing hundreds of missiles randomly upon cities in Israel if it is not to inflict damage on innocent life and property? And what then is the appropriate response to that, our other guest, the good doctor who is living this, and my heart goes out to the doctor because he is living this on a daily basis. And yet, in order to find a reasonable, acceptable end to both sides requires not missiles, but requires, nor airstrikes, but requires really a commitment to, as Netanyahu said, quiet for quiet on both sides, and in a subsiding of the violence, perhaps we can get together and talk our way through this. Well, this but to passionately lump blame entirely on one side or on the other does not contribute to that process.
Go ahead.
Certainly missiles and airstrikes do not either.
Hey, Dayad, go ahead.
No, absolutely. I think I see where your guest is coming from. And when one hears that, one gets the impression that the whole conflict started only with the kidnapping, with the dubious kidnapping, rather, of the three Israeli settlers who were in illegally occupied areas. And what I'm saying is that, yes, I think we need some quiet here in the Middle East, and in Palestine in particular. We need compliance with international law. And I think that the party that has been violating international law is apartheid Israel. And what I'm saying is that if Israel withdraws from the land it occupied back in 1967, the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, including Eastern Jerusalem, in accordance with the United Nations Resolution, Security Council Resolution 242, and if it implements United Nations Resolution 194, which calls for the right of all Palestinian refugees who were ethnically cleansed back in 1948, and if it actually ends its apartheid policies practiced against the indigenous population of Palestine, the second-class citizen, Palestinian citizens of the State of Israel, then we will have quiet. If Israel transforms itself into a secular democracy, where we have civic democracy, like civic democracies in the West, in the United States of America, and in South Africa. But what Israel has been practicing against the Palestinians